if you're listening to this, then congratulations. You'll soon be one of the few that know the truth. And by then, I'll likely be gone. Not dead, just gone. Vanished, erased, snubbed out. Mark my words, it will happen. But before that day comes, I'm determined to share the information I have. Information that many would prefer to remain out of reach. But information the public deserves to know. I'll start with how I managed to get myself into this mess. Right in the center of the spider's web. Apologies in advance for the hazy details. But I'm going to have to be vague to keep them off my trail for much longer. Anyway, to put it simply, I had hit rock bottom when they found me. Homeless on the streets of Her Majesty's London, without a single helping hand in sight. At the time, their offer seemed too good to be true. £100,000. I was told, with private health care, house and car thrown in too. In hindsight, I should have realized it was. If you're not from the UK, but have ever visited London, you'll understand what I'm about to say perfectly. It doesn't all seem a bit magical. The gold of the crown sprinkled on every street corner, post box and lamppost. The palaces and towers that everyone visits eventually with their guards. Gates in the presence of royalty only meters away. The Houses of Parliament and the London Underground, mundane and boring to those familiar with them, yet quirky and alluring to those from the outside. One of my co-workers once described London as the Disney of capital cities, and I'll be damned if that isn't exactly what they want. Simply put, it is all a front for something much greater. When you visit London, they want you to make fools of yourselves, trying to make the Queen's Guard smile. They want you to buy into the excitement of royal weddings and to shake your heads at the parliamentary debates. They want you to read the conspiracy theories about what happened to Princess Diana, and they want you to believe them. What is the truth? I don't know, and neither will any of you. The point is that you'll sit there and ponder, ponder and ponder, and never, for one moment, look deeper than that thin layer of magic. Because if you do, you just may find another London entirely. Whatever I had expected when I first signed the contract, it was nothing compared to the truth. My job was nothing special. I was a glorified cleaner, responsible for cleaning up after all the all-stars, picking up the trash and keeping my head down and mouth shut. If I recall correctly, the official term used was disposable employee. But I digress. When you work in un-London, things are never that easy. Un-London is an enigma. Something that hides in plain sight and yet remains concealed to a near-perfect degree. It is also worth mentioning that un-London is only a nickname used by those with no official business or importance there and only spoken publicly by those with nothing to lose. Unfortunately, I'm a member of both groups. Official names include SC Templar, SC1, and SC Crown, with the SC standing for Sub-City. And the rest standing for God knows what. I have reason to believe similar facilities exist in many cities worldwide, with rumored locations including the Paris Catacombs, the Vatican, and the city of Moscow, to name a few. But I have no solid evidence to support these claims. Then again, procuring evidence against a secret of this magnitude is a near impossible task. So you'll just have to trust my word. Over roughly 9 months of my employment in un-London, I stumbled across my fair share of sensitive information, not entirely by accident, but not outright deliberately either. Of course, it wasn't easy. What other cleaning jobs do you know that force you through 2 months of psychological examination, interrogation, and conditioning before they let you near the place? And that isn't including the security measures underground. Practically every door is magnetically sealed, opened only with the correct key card and fingerprints that change daily. When on the job, there is never a moment when you aren't in the immediate vicinity of an armed guard, security camera, or narrow-eyed supervisor. When you aren't working, you're confined to your accommodation, with every blind spot covered, every mirror two-way, and absolutely no phone service to speak of. Some call the UK the most watched country on earth, and they'd be right, because the secrets of un-London are that valuable. Moving on to the facility itself. Un-London isn't a single fortified location, but a labyrinth of disused chambers, passages, and bunkers stretching beneath the City of London, particularly under and around the River Thames. You won't find them on any map, and they aren't accessible through any of the known areas available to the public. Only through a handful of very specific entry points within the river itself and several mining standard elevator shafts in choice locations around the city. And don't bother asking where any of these entrances are, because I was unconscious and blindfolded during the journey for obvious security reasons. Believe it or not, the history of the facility is one of the few scraps of information they willingly gave up to new employees, likely to create a false sense of lawfulness and security in a profession that is neither secure or lawful. On London was first founded immediately following World War II in an effort to capitalize on the existing infrastructure of subterranean London. While everyone else was hopeful and looking to the light, they took it upon themselves to sink to new lows. Since then, the tunnels have expanded exponentially, as have the range of their functions, with the depravity and secrecy only growing with each passing decade. Let's just say that during my stint as a disposable, I saw the remnants of some mind-boggling, revolting, and disturbing things. I won't go into all the details to spare your stomach, but I'll give you enough for your mind to fill in the rest. A few other disposables and I were once sent to clean up after a round of afternoon tea. Tea, cakes, and substances too rare and secret to populate the government's banned substance register. Not to mention the meat of animals on the endangered species list, another cleaning session considered of emptying an office following its occupant's suicide, marked for incineration, the order had said. I suppose by now you're wondering how I know all I do, and for that, I don't blame you. The life of a disposable is mostly just following orders from a faceless superior, charging from one day to the next in silence and staying in the dark. For me, it was much of the same, until they chose to promote me. To understand my second job, you first need to understand the single biggest source of paranoia for the bigwigs behind UnLondon, the Internet. A single cyber attack or incursion could expose the truth behind their actions. So within UnLondon, no communication over the Internet, via phones, or any equipment, modern or otherwise, is permitted. Good old-fashioned letters make up the vast majority of communication within the city, which are favored exactly for their primitive, unhackable nature. Coupled with a near-zero chance of any physical material escaping the city, you can see the appeal. This brings me on to my second job within UnLondon, a courier. Hundreds of couriers are employed within tunnels, scurrying back and forth and providing a never-ending stream of orders, data, and documents, the vast majority of which are marked, classified, read once, then promptly sent to one of several huge furnaces somewhere in the complex. But in secret, as time trickled by and hundreds upon hundreds of letters came under my supervision, I gradually built up my knowledge of the city, and it terrified me. I learned that the level I had been employed on was only the highest of five, each more mysterious and secure than the last. I learned that many of the unseen figures we had heard whispers of were all well-known celebrities, politicians, and intellectuals. And worst of all, I learned about the Fleming Protocol, what began as three words mentioned inconspicuously on an itinerary soon spiraled into a predicament that has tracked me to this day. Remember the term disposable employee? I first assumed it was intended to demean and frighten us, but in hindsight, I suppose it was naive to ever assume anything in my situation. Like I said, security is their single greatest concern, and it turns out someone like me, a nobody, salvaged from the bottom and trapped between the lines, is too great a threat for them to tolerate. Whether it's simply the cold nature of UnLondon, or the fear that my kind has nothing left to lose, the fact is, I don't have long left. When I first began my conditioning, I was given a medical examination, and that included several different injections disguised as vaccinations. More naivety on my part. I suppose whatever they gave me, I can feel it growing stronger by the day, seething, throbbing, and sapping what little strength I have left. I now know that there'll be no happy endings for me. No meal tickets, to Easy Street and No Way Out. They want their secrets to stay buried, trapped in legend and myth, never to see the light of day. I won't give them that luxury. So, whatever the cost, I'm making my knowledge known by using my short debriefing period to do the right thing, to serve the public after so long serving the men in the high towers. Like I said, by the time you hear this, I'll likely be gone. So I'll leave you with one last piece of advice. Next time you hear a sensational conspiracy or a scandal too shocking to be true or something you may immediately dismiss as improbable in the modern world, think of my story. Think of how much you really know about the back streets and dark cellars of the world around you. And most of all, think of what you can do to bring those places into the light. After all rumors start somewhere. That was The Truth About London by Jack Rowland. I hope you enjoyed this creepypasta. I am the host of the show and frontman, the Reverend Godfather, and you are listening to, once again, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And if you like this creepypasta and you want to hear more or you want to comment on whatever episode we're talking about or what have you, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We will read your emails on air. So there's that. Not to mention over the next couple of months or weeks, we'll have loads and loads of stuff for you. Like next week, we will have our interview with Kurt Wagner, who is an actor and special effects extraordinaire. You've seen him act and appear in recently The Guardians Galaxy Volume 2, plus he's been in Sleepy Hollow, plus he's also been in Walking Dead, so there's that. So stick with us. It'll be a promotional show for the upcoming 4-State RetroCon Take 2 that will be this upcoming September, which we'll be at. More details to follow. So there's that. You could find us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Not to mention, our show, as always, in its entirety, what I mean by that is every single episode, is on our main site, which is TheLongCoatMafia.podbean.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whichever device you listen to us on, as well as Google Play Music and Stitcher Radio. You can also find us on Twitter, which is Long Coat Mafia, and on Instagram, which is also Long Coat Mafia. All these details in reference to our social media can be found in the show's description. Hopefully they'll be linkable. So there's that. And we'll speak to you again next week.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.